Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
8:16, I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning. Hamas is playing a very, very powerful game, and we wanted to understand what they hope to achieve by this. Dr. Ron Schleifer, he is no stranger to us. He happens to be here in South Africa at the moment, and he joins us. He's an expert on psychological warfare. A very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. How are you enjoying your trip to South Africa?
Oh, boy. What a place. My goodness. I'm almost looking around to find where's the catch.
The catch is our government. That is the catch. But
good. I didn't say that.
Yeah. No, we definitely can say that. But I'm glad to hear that you are enjoying it and that you've been welcomed appropriately by the community.
Thank you so much.
So
thank you to all my hosts.
This whole game over the weekend, the display of the bodies, the posters, the wrong body, the showing us other hostages behind, left behind. What is Hamas trying to achieve here?
Very simple, to knock us off our feet. Israel is far stronger militarily. We have more airplanes, we have more submarines, we have more missiles. So Hamas is looking at our weak point, and it identified our weak point long ago, even before Gilad Shalit affair, and even before that. And so this is how the technique works. This is psychological warfare. This is everyone has a problem when we are being told constantly they think differently, but we can relate to that somehow. But they cannot understand that. What do you mean think differently? Mm. Like when they prickle, won't we grimace in pain? When we're tickled, don't we laugh? We're all human beings after all. It's not that. It's inexplicable. People think differently, and we, to the last minute, believe that Gaza would be Singapore, and this is what they want, but they don't. And they stuck the knife into our body on October 7th, and ever since, when the knife is still in, so they twist it, and they're looking constantly for more opportunity to twist the knife, and it. This is no coincidence, and this is, it's not by chance. It's planned in advance, and it's been done in Iran, and it's been done in Gaza, and it's been done. It's been planned in all those places.
So that's, I guess, my question is: every time that there's a release of hostages, there's something that Hamas does to unnerve, shock, horrify us. Do they sit down at a meeting and say, "How are we going to do it this time? We need something a little bit different." I just can't imagine how this works.
Why? It's a, think of it like a PR campaign. You want to promote, a new candidate. So all candidates are candidates. They say they don't want but they have a calling. They want this. This is why they run to office. They have nothing to gain, only to give, etc. So you sit in the meetings and you try to find a fresh angle to promote your product or your candidate or whatever. And this is what is happening here. Someone told me that in the past, it's going to come out, but I can give you a primer. In the past, Hezbollah returned, instead of returning the body of Israeli soldier, it returned a dead dog in the coffin. So it's these things are, they want to shock us. They want to show that they are merciless. They want to show that they are cruel. This is what they want to show. And this is in order to deter us from going further into a military move, into a political move, into the evacuation of Gaza or whatever. It's been planned, and they have a goal to achieve. So they plan in advance at the best in a very creative way. And as I was saying, it's not just in Gaza; it's in Tehran as well. And it could be that they might be getting advice from all over the radical Islamic worldwide network, which they have laid out. And so we can expect the worst. And we don't think this way. We don't. But you know, for better or for worse, we should better try, and to get to understand deeper and deeper. The way their minds work, because we're not a villa in the jungle, as Ehud Barak has once said. We live in the Middle East, and we have to, if you want to continue to survive in the Middle East, we have to understand the way the Middle East thinks, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that we're going to do this, but we have to understand how the rules work, and this is why we won't be taken off our feet so easily and so often.
And yet we are. Always seem to be on the defensive. We always seem to be reacting rather than control. Hamas feels like they control the situation. We don't.
Yes. Yes. Indeed. Indeed. It's there's another thing that we should pay attention to, and this is the effect of deniability. Hamas is doing this, and the PLO was doing this, and the PA were doing this. There's always leave a space for deniability, and this is in order to prevent the enemy of striking back. What do I mean? When the PA initiated the car ramming campaign, a Palestinian would ram his car into a line of people waiting for at a bus stop, or soldiers waiting for a ride. So he rammed into the soldiers or the civilians, and then somebody would eventually pull out the gun and kill him and end it.
Right.
So the procedure was the same. Israel is a trigger happy country. Because the guy simply lost his brakes. Okay, so then Israel would run quickly to check the car and the mechanics and the brakes, and the brakes would, no surprise, would turn out to be fine. The guy was actually deranged into his background, and see that he was a teacher in a school with a family, with a salary and all that. So he was not deranged. All right. Okay. So they came out. They would come up with another excuse, and by then it was already an old story. So there's always a space of deniability, like. So that would set us running and to look and to follow the lead that they are giving us. The same thing is here. No, it's a mistake. The body of the mother of Shiri Bivas. No, it was a mistake. It was a result of the Israeli bombing. You see, there's always, could be plausible. Yeah, it could be. Yeah, yes, it could be. So it takes the edge off what they've done, the stunt that they have pulled in order to shake us. So this is the way they operate, and we should expect that, because this is the way they do. We think it's macabre. This thing is things you don't do even to your worst enemy. But they do, and this is the way they work. And we should not be so influenced by that. And
see, the problem is then you have the situation with Elia Cohen, where he is forced to kiss the head of his captor, and all over Arab social media, and those who hate, those who want to believe whatever they want to believe, they're posting, you see, this is the end of the Zionist story, because look how respectfully he was treated. He's kissing the guy. Now, everybody knows that he was forced to do that, but yet somehow this becomes a major story.
It is, because it doesn't matter the context now, the image will stay for long. And this was designed mainly for two target audiences. For Israel, to see how we played your hostages. By the way, not many people pay attention to that, but they come with a hairstyle and a beard in a jihadi format.
Yeah, yeah.
So you could say this is what their barbers can do. This is the only style their barbers can do. But if you monitor the Arab world, it's done. That's intentional. So they present to the Arab world and subconsciously to the Israelis, we've converted them. They are ours. There'll be always some corner of their soul, of their psyche, will be with us, the Palestinians, the just Palestinian or the Islamic cause, etc. It serves many purposes. To Israel and to the rest of the world, is the theme of cruelty. We are cruel. We're not by nature, but you force us to be cruel. And since we are cruel, you better not mess with us. And this is a very clear and succinct message. To the Arab world, it's a sigh of relief. The Jew is again kissing his master, the Muslim, the way that it has always been and the way it should always be. And the state of Israel is just an aberration in history. It's just a misstep. This justifies the tremendous destruction of Gaza. And this justifies some way of subverting the Trump threat or the Trump plan to evacuate Gaza entirely, which would be a tremendous blow for the Islamic world. The Islamic world is still mourning the loss of Spain. You know what, 700-800 years ago, they still mourn it. It's just like our Tisha B'Av.
Right.
Anyway, they commemorate it.
Mm.
So the evacuation of Gaza, it's going to be a tremendous ideological or religious blow. And the Jew kissing, in this case, the head or the hand of his Muslim ruler, and paying the jizya, the traditional tax, that thank you for letting me live. So in a sense, nothing has really changed. And in the Arab world, the gesture is very often more important than the actual deed. So it doesn't matter what the political or the military result of an event or of any campaign. What matters is a gesture. And this is something Westerners do not understand, and they better start understanding.
Get to the program.
Because these
are the messages, and this is what's important in terms of showcasing. Dr. Ron Schleifer, thank you, researcher and on psychological warfare, certainly bringing us a very, very different perspective. It is 8:31. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.